You have a business, you only proclaim certain amount of money. Be careful, God will take everything away from you. If you're not honest and you don't pay your taxes like everybody else, like I pay my taxes, then how can God honor your business when you're being a cheat and you're cheating the government and you're cheating God?
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul earned 2 Purple Hearts for his service in Vietnam. He strives to represent the Lord well as an upstanding American citizen who respects our nation's leaders and upholds his financial commitments. For a free DVD of Raul's story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Today in our study of Paul's letter to the Romans, we'll take a practical look at how to please God, even in decisions that may seem to have nothing to do with our spiritual life. Raul will show us that by obeying governmental authority, paying our taxes, and honoring our financial obligations, we actually show the world our dedication to doing what's right in God's eyes. Here's Raul Reese now in Romans chapter 13.
Paul the Apostle is going to speak to us concerning government. One thing that we need to be careful, we can't rebel against government. We cannot. As a child of God, the only time that I can say no to government is when they come against my faith. Like in the early church, back in the time of the Romans. Let me read you some of the things that I wrote down. Number one, Rome was an imperial capital, the seat of empire's civil government. Rome. Secondly, a resident of Rome, Paul initially readers, were aware of both the glory and the shame of that city in the days of Caesar Nero that reigned from 54 to 68 AD. What did Nero do? Nero went ahead and took Christians and would crucify them and tar them and then light them on fire. He would take a prisoner, tie him to 2 horses, one going in a different direction, and split them in half. Throwing children to the lion's den, having people to confess Caesar is Lord or Jesus is Lord, and those that said Jesus is Lord, they would pay with their own lives. And it's so sad that even Nero went ahead and killed Paul the Apostle because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3:20, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also eagerly we wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're waiting for the Lord to come. And then Colossians 1:13 says, "He was delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, Jesus." So Paul begins in chapter 13, verse 1. What we should do as believers, the attitude that we should have towards government. He says, "Let every soul be in submission, subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God to be obeyed." Because the Bible does not allow civil disobedience. The Bible says that. Secondly, obedience to the state is an ordinance of God. An ordinance of God. Thirdly, the basic reason for such submission is that those in authority have been established by God to cover and to protect His people. Verse 2. "Therefore, because of this, whoever resists or rebels the authority resists the ordinance or the authority of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." You will be punished. Secondly, be a good citizen of the nation, but be a good citizen of the kingdom of God, where God will bless you because you love Him and because you want to do what's right. And then you have an example. If you don't really obey what God says and what the government says, then you're going to get judged, right? You're driving down the freeway. You're speeding a little bit and you see a black and white behind you. All of a sudden you get nervous because you feel, man, he's going to pull me over and he's going to give me a ticket because I'm breaking the law. But if I am not breaking the law and he passes me on, then I have peace because I know that I am obeying the law. And people need to do that today. Not on the freeways, but we need to do it in our lives. Wherever we are, we need to obey God's law because of his love, because of his grace, and because of his mercy. In verse 3, he says, "For rulers are not a terror to do good works." The police, the agents, the FBI, all these people to do evil. But do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. If you do what's right, man, they're going to say, you know what? You're a great citizen. You're obeying the law that has been given to this city or to this nation or to this world. Two ways that a person upholds the law. Number one, he obeys it. Secondly, notice, he disobeys it. You either obey or you disobey. He receives the consequences for his guilt and for the guilt that he's committed and also the things that he thought he would never be judged for. That's what the Bible teaches. Watch what it says. Verse 4. For he is God's minister. Who's that? The National Guard. The military, the police department, the FBI, anyone in Washington with authority is God's minister as long as he does what is right. But if he doesn't, then he becomes guilty and he will be judged. He goes on to say, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, notice why God set it up. If you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Notice what he says that. The righteousness, if he does the right thing and he punishes that person, then he's going to stand before the Lord in righteousness because he's obeying what the Bible says and what the Word of God says. He goes on. He does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's agent or minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. That is by the civil authorities are punished. Notice those that are committing the crime. God is very clear on that. You can't argue that. Verse 5. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. God's wrath, will notice, will fall upon those that will disobey. And secondly, the Christian circumstances. They are declared that he must obey the ordinances of God and not he also will pay the penalty of disobedience, which will be what? The chastening of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's not going to put up with it. Verse 6. For because of this, you, notice, don't cheat the government. Now listen, a lot of times we speak about taxes and there's a lot of people that cheat on their taxes. Be careful. Be careful. You have a business, you only proclaim certain amount of money. Be careful. God will take everything away from you. If you're not honest and you don't pay your taxes like everybody else, like I pay my taxes, then how can God honor your business when you're being a cheat and you're cheating the government and you're cheating God? Look what he says. For because of this cheating, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, the IRS, God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. If you want to know more about that, look what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 17 to 21, to pay taxes. He said, Peter, go ahead and go pay our taxes. Go down to the Sea of Galilee. You'll catch your fish, open his mouth, and you'll have a coin, and go give it to Caesar to pay your taxes. He says, verse 7, render or pay therefore to all their due. taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to customs are due, fear to whom is fear, honor to whom honor is done. So we are not to try not to pay our taxes. We have to be honest. April 15 comes along, my taxes have to be paid. Be obedient to the word of God. Verse 8, notice, owe no one anything except love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't make a loan. I can make a loan, but I need to pay the loan. If you're going to take the responsibility that you need a loan and you get that loan, you have to be on time when you pay your loan. Otherwise, they're going to charge you interest. You see? And then you complain, you get mad. You can't. You were the one that didn't pay the bank or whoever you made the loan from. And I think that's really important what he says in the scripture to us. And he says, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Verse 9, for the commandment you shall not commit adultery. Now, before I get to that, here Paul is sharing about the commandments. First of all, he's talking here about the second law of the Ten Commandments, 6, not the first part. He says, the commandments you shall not commit adultery. How many Christians commit adultery? Wife, husband? When we're supposed to be faithful to our marriage, we're not supposed to cheat on our wife. Wives are not supposed to cheat on their husbands. And if you're at home listening to this Bible study and you find yourself in that relationship, please beg you, break it up. Repent before you're caught. Repent. And you hurt your family. And you hurt your friends. And you ruin somebody else's life and family. That's what the Bible teaches. He says also, you shall not murder. You shall not steal. You steal giving to God what belongs to God. As we said, you steal from your taxes. Be careful. You cannot steal. Secondly, he says here, you shall not bear false witnesses. You ever been falsely accused? He says, be careful of that. You shall not covet. You want somebody else's car, somebody else's house, somebody else's dress, somebody else's clothes. Be careful or not to covet after anything. Then he says, if there is any other commandment, in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then we have the responsibility to our fellow men to love them, and not to offend them and not to come against them. But that they can see Jesus Christ in our lives, that we keep the law of God because of the grace of God given to me. Verse 10, the importance here of continually showing love. Love does not harm, notice, to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this. And now when he comes, as he's coming down to the end, he wants to make sure that we understand the coming of the Lord. People ask me, do you think Jesus is coming? I believe Jesus is coming since the day I got saved. One thing about Calvary Chapel, one thing about Pastor Chuck's, man, when we used to go to Calvary Chapel, man, we learned about the coming of the Lord. We knew it meant backwards and forward. And we always were looking for the coming of the Lord. I really believe that all these years that I've been a Christian as a pastor, what's kept me reading, praying, seeking the Lord is because I learned that Jesus is coming at any time. He's coming as a thief in the night. I don't want him to catch me doing something that I should not be doing. We forget that when this rapture of the church takes place, as he says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, and all the way to the New Testament, that there's a day that the church is going to be taken, or people are going to disappear, believe it or not. Before the last 7 years of world history, which we call the 7-year tribulation period. That those people that have been born again of the Holy Spirit, people that have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and people that really truly believe that there's a second coming of Jesus Christ, Those people will be spared from the tribulation period that is coming for the last 7 years of world history. You don't want to be here for that. I love what Paul says here. And do this knowing the time, that now is high time to get awake out of sleep. The church has been sleeping. That's why the church is a mess. If we truly believe in the coming of the Lord, if we truly believe in the rapture of the church, if we truly believe that I have been born again of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not supposed to be the old Raul, but I'm supposed to be the new Raul, then the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be on my side. And when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Maybe tonight. You're reading this tonight. You're hearing this whole lesson. You come to verse 11 and do this knowing the time that now is. It's high time to awake out of sleep. It says, for now our salvation is closer than when we first believed. 50 years ago, I believe my salvation is closer. The coming of the Lord is closer than when I first believed. How about you? How long has it been? And listen, I may die without seeing the rapture of the church. I don't really care. I'm going to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't put down the rapture because it is going to take place. The reason is there is a generation that is never going to die. They are going to take it to heaven. And here is Paul in the book of Romans. And do this knowing, having knowledge, that time is at hand. That now it is high time to wake up out of sleeping. For now my salvation is nearer than when I first came to know Christ or believe in Jesus Christ. The night is far spent, notice. The day is at hand. We see that. Therefore, because of this, let us cast off the works of darkness. Listen, if we see the coming of the Lord, this is what people need today that are rioting. They need to know that God sees everything. They need to know that all these things are happening because he's coming. And because he's coming, we need to stop rioting. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So that we can go back out and tell people that know you, listen, I have repented. I'm not writing any longer, but I'm walking with Jesus Christ. That's what he desires. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And because of this, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the whole armor of God. Why do we need the armor of God? For protection. The wiles of the devil, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. The devil is against you. The devil's against me. And he's firing his fiery darts at us. He's trying to get to my heart. He's trying to disqualify me. But if Christ is for me, who can be against me? No one. Not even you. And even me against you, I can't do nothing against you. Because I can't do nothing against Jesus. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that has baptized me. He's the one that has given me hope for 50 years that he's coming once again. And how I'm looking forward to Jesus coming again. How I'm looking forward when I'm with him for the last 7 years of world history. That at the second coming of Christ, I'm coming back with him and with every person that has gone to heaven, riding upon white horses, coming to judge this world before we go into the kingdom age or the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Man, there's so much to believe in. So much in the kingdom of God. Verse 13. Notice, let us walk properly as in the day. Notice, not as in the night. Avoid sin. Avoid things that are going to take you down. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry or wild parties. Sexual orgies, brawls, riots. That's what that word speaks about. And drunkenness, a problem with alcohol. Drinking sociably, getting drunk? He says, don't do that as a child of God. Listen, Christians today, pastors, leaders, drink when we're not supposed to drink. Paul says, wine is a mocker and those that drink it are stupid. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about your wife? Or wives, what about your husbands? I've seen so much alcohol destroy people's lives. It destroyed my life. My father was an alcoholic. He drank every night. He had a perfect record for jobs. But when he would come home and drink and begin to abuse my mother and begin verbally to abuse me, my brother, and call names to my sisters, then that's when I began to be bitter. And my goal was to kill my father. I hated him. Until I came to Christ, I had to apologize and ask him to forgive me. And through that, he quit drinking. We became very close. And my father went to heaven. But I think the main point here is drinking alcohol. Taking pictures. You know, you take pictures with your beer or your wine glass, whatever it is, as a Christian. That's not good. That's not good. It's going to stumble people. Then he says, not in lewdness, which means resentment against another's success, jealousies. And then he says, lewdness, which means wickedness. And I think that when you look at this list of sins, I need to step back tonight and look at my Bible and look at my life and say, Lord, what's the part in my life that is offending you? The sin that is keeping me away from you. Lord, I don't want to be away from you. I want you to be with me. Lord, I want you to use me fully, completely. And Lord, even things that I don't understand in my life, that when I see people sinning, I can't judge them because I have to look at my own life. My own life, so that I can get my life right before God and he can forgive me and he can use me and I can become light and I can become a vessel of holiness and then people can listen to what I have to say. But if I'm not doing what God says, nobody's going to listen to me. Why would they want to listen to me? I would not listen to them.
Raul has reminded us well today that as believers, we represent the Lord in everything that we do, even in mundane activities like paying our taxes. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Maybe there's something in today's lesson you'd like to hear again. If so, you can get an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Simply call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from Romans chapter 13. Now, for insight into what it looks like to truly honor God with your life, we'd like to offer you a new CD series from Raul titled Liberty. This three-lesson audio pack explores more of the Apostle Paul's teaching in Romans, zeroing in on how your freedom in Christ actually gives you great opportunities to serve in His name. You'll be challenged to reevaluate and reorder your priorities as you consider what the Lord can accomplish through you when you turn from the bondage of sin to walk in His ways. Get in touch with us to order Raul's new audio series titled Liberty. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this three CD collection for a gift of $17 or more. Our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also have several free ways you can access free biblical teaching from Somebody Loves You. Join Raul on YouTube every Tuesday at noon West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that explores current world issues from a biblical point of view. You'll also want to check out our Somebody Loves You app that's available to download on your iPhone or Android. And don't forget, all of Raul's teaching can be downloaded as a podcast through Spotify and iTunes. And his daily devotional emails are free when you subscribe online. To stay connected with us throughout your day, you can like us on Instagram and friend us on Facebook. Well, as we continually look for new ways to help you experience hope and peace from God's Word, your input is very helpful to us. Let us know how we can pray for you as well. Your contributions help keep these programs on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the continued prayers and financial support of listeners like you, and every contribution is tax deductible. Well, it's been good to share this time with you today, and we invite you to join us again next time as we study the Bible to discover more wonderful truths to guide us in our daily lives. Here's Roll now once again with a closing word.
And I would pray that as we study the Scriptures, that as we put on the whole armor of God, he says in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desires of the flesh. The word provision here, it means planning ahead, to go ahead and think what I'm going to do ahead of my life. Be careful. A.W. Tozer said, when he returns, Jesus is not as important as the fact that we are ready for him when he does return. Are we ready when he returns? We need to be ready. For behold, I am coming, and my reward is with me. Lord, come quickly.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.